Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto and he's pressing nothing left. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love on the...
What's up, everybody in Blog Talk? And this is V.J. Smith, the national president of Mad Dads. Big up to everybody in Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Lincoln, Omaha, Dallas, Texas, and, of course, the headquarters right here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're going to talk about camps. We're going to talk about the involvement of our summer things. But right now, we have a special guest in the house with us right now. We have Paula Haywood from Hennepin County. And, you know, she's worked a lot with young people. And so I want to just get her insight on the way things are going in our community, the crisis we have with our young people. What are some of the answers that you see that we need to do to make this community not only a safer place, but a better place for our kids?
Well, I think we all have to be realistic. We all come from families, and family support is critical. So what I would suggest is that each and every one of us who have a loved one that is a teenager or a youth, that we start wrapping our loving arms around them, working with them, coordinating with them, trying to figure out what they want to do in their lives and give them some mission and some purpose, and at least a perspective about their goals for their future, and then helping them see the examples of that. If there's a person you know in the community, that person that inspires that person, connect them with them on an ongoing basis, encourage them to learn what they do, how did they get where they went, how are they going to do some of the things that they want to do in their future. Just find living examples and do that in partnership. That would be one of my suggestions.
You know, I found out that everybody says they want to stop violence in our community. Everybody says they want to solve, you know, the crime in our community. They talk about this, but I don't see a real sense of unification. I don't see us all coming together. And what do you feel like is the big gap? What's the problem?
Well, I do think that some of the aspects of our challenges that we're facing right now is just not really knowing what our purpose is. Everybody in the community should have a purpose-driven statement for their family. Whatever you guys are working together on as a family, united together, you should be setting some goals. You know, this year we're going to do community engagement. So we're going to go to whatever entities are out there in the community, and we're going to practice serving and trying to help out. Maybe next year you focus in on giving, and you figure out how you can give of yourself, how do you give financially, how do you give in volunteer work and activities like that. But taking a unified focus on that from a family perspective is what I would suggest, is that you unite together in partnership with your family, teach them new innovative things, learn about the communities in which you live in. Try to figure out, why is that church on this corner? What happened with the history in this community that created this church to be on this corner? What purpose does this community church serve? And how can I find out what's going on in that church to say I can serve my community better? Maybe it's doing a family enrichment series. Maybe it's a family engagement series. I don't know. But you need to think about utilizing all the resources that surround you, because there's a purpose for every building on every street, and the reason why it's sitting there is a purpose for the family, it's a purpose for the community in which it serves.
Well, you're listening to Paula Haywood. She is a manager at Hennepin County. What department are you managing?
I work in Juvenile Services and Community Connections.
Well, as you can tell, Community Connections, and who better to help us understand how to connect the community? In your role as a manager of Community Connections, What do you see something that we need to work on as a community? I have heard you on many levels talk about people don't listen to what they're supposed to do. It's really simple. If you want to be successful, there's steps for you to take. If you don't take the steps, you're going to still fall in the same situation. What are some of the things that you see time and time again that we need to start doing as community leaders?
As community leaders, I think we need to be results-oriented. And what I mean by that is, if we're saying out of our mouths that we're making a difference in the community, how do you demonstrate that? How do you show that? How do you prove that you made a difference in VJ Smith's life? How do you prove that Paula Haywood is no longer a teenage mom. Now she's an adult. And what can she turn around and give back to the community? How do you demonstrate the success rates of those things? Because we all have micro success rates in our community. We all have our success stories in our own selves, and we need to be able to testify to that and let other people know, just because you were down at one point in time, you have been able to be successful in another time in your life. And so how did you get there? Because every time people see that calamity that's in their life and they stay down, no, help them find a way to build up from that experience, because you don't have to be a disaster. Just because you had an disaster in your life, you can leverage yourself to a much success in your future if you just start telling your story, sharing with other people how you got over, and then move forward, or else make some dream come true out of somebody else's life. If they are setting a purpose for their future, help them find that dream. Help them connect with people who are doing the same things that they dream about.
Wow, you listen to Paula Haywood from Hennepin County Community Connections. Is that correct? The manager?
Yes, Community Services Manager.
Community Services Manager, you know, long title with a lot of history. She's been with the county for many, many years. How many years?
30.
30 years with the county and has been serving the community. Me and Paula, we met at when she was working with the Village. I think we called it Village Social Services.
Yes.
At the time, we were trying to reduce the crime that's still going on up on Broadway and right in that neighborhood. But I really, truly think the one thing that we did, we had an impact.
Yeah, we did an empowerment process.
And so we had an empowerment process. Can you talk a little bit about what was that process and who did you, how did you come up with that process?
Technically, it was the staff that were in the Village. But what we did was we brought, instead of just sitting at the table and saying, oh, woe is me, there's a lot of stuff going on in the community, how do we eradicate that? I said, well, then if there's an impact on the community, let's bring all the partners to the table. So we had Mad Dads, we had the YMCA, we had the doctors on the doctor's clinics up and down the street, the dentists at the table. We also had juvenile probation, Minneapolis Police Department, and any other community entities that surrounded that area so that we could sit down and talk about families. We were called Murderapolis back in those days, and so what we decided to do was, instead of just trying to take a reactionary stance to everything that was going on, we took a proactive stance. If there was stuff that was going on in the community, we wanted to go over there and talk to the people in the community. Maybe it was a block club that we needed to have a conversation with. Maybe it was a neighbor who was struggling with some issues. Maybe it was a landlord who couldn't get their tenants to act right. And so we sat down and we talked to those people, and we tried to figure out, troubleshoot those issues on our own instead of trying to look at the system to rely on remedying our issues.
That program went on for how many years?
I think it was a good 7 to 10.
7 to 10 years, and what was the result of that program?
We had families' lives change. We got people moved out of facilities that weren't habitable. We saved families from getting caught up in the child protection system. We had partnerships with the police department, so instead of them being reactionary to everything that was going on, we were partnering with them to try to remedy situations so that it doesn't go as deep into the system as it really needs to go. People in juvenile probation had a nice little place where the youth can come, a youth-friendly atmosphere where they can have fun and learn activities and partner with juvenile probation instead of being a fear factor of juvenile probation.
Sounds to me like you had a great program and a great system going on that could have really saved the north side. What stopped it from going on?
I think business lines in terms of priorities for the county system, as well as community, just got busy with other things that it put as a priority, and then it melded itself into the stuff that goes on with the General Mills Foundation and the stuff that they do with the Hawthorne Huddle. And so there were other extensions of processes that kind of branched out and did things that were a little different, but they're still, in essence, some of that process is still going on.
Wow, that's amazing. You listen to Pauline Haywood. If you want to call in, if you want to say a few things, that number to call in is 425-292-4444. That's 425-292-4444. And we realize a lot of times that people that are listening online, you can go online to Blog Talk Radio, Minneapolis Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio, anytime and listen to the broadcast. And we know a lot of people are listening at their office and are listening other places. So not everyone is calling in, but sometimes people are getting right on their desk and listening to us. Paula, so if you could give advice, I got one last question for you, and I thank you for coming in the last minute to help us out on this radio show. You really gave us some things to think about. When it comes to the days are different now than they were when we had the Hawthorne Huddle and the Village and all that stuff, times are different. Things are different now. The drugs are different. People are somewhat different. But what advice do you give to our residents and our community members that are looking to say, what should I do now? I mean, with the way things are politically and the way things are with violence in our community, what advice do you give to our community members?
I just say you need to stand for something. You need to stand for something that's going to make a change. Every time I turn around, there's people always talking about, why don't the violence stop and that kind of stuff. Well, what are you doing? What are you taking a personal responsibility for to own what changes need to happen in your community? It's not time to talk about it anymore. It's time to be about it. It's time to take action. It's time to take personal responsibility for what you're going to do. And if you don't have a purpose statement in your life, create a purpose statement and then start taking steps to try to support that purpose statement so that you can make a difference. This year, maybe you're focusing in on trying to empower your neighbors. And next year, you might want to talk about an organization that you want to support and get behind their mission, vision, and goals, and then start supporting that. I personally take personal responsibility for how I can make a difference in the communities. And when I see challenges and struggles, I'm going to be creative, and I'm going to try to come up with a way that I can remedy a challenge or a struggle that's going on in my neighborhood and my community that I serve. North Minneapolis will always be home for me, and so I owe that debt to that community for the rest of my life, and I will continue to walk on the north side of Minneapolis and see what I can do. That's why I preach over there, and that's why I sing over there, and I'm going to continue to be a contributor to whatever difference I can make as long as I have breath. And that's the way we need, as citizens, that's the way we need to live.
We're going to have you come back, Pauline. You are just a wealth of information. You have so much to give and so much to offer. We're excited about having you back. I know you're here for something else. We're going to let you go now. Thank you so much for being on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, thank you, Mr. VJ Smith and Mad Dads. I really appreciate all the work you guys are doing. You're doing such a great contribution to the community, and I just really hope and pray that people continue to get behind you and support everything that Mad Dads is doing. You guys are an awesome organization, and I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you. We're proud of you, too, Paul, and we're proud of what you're doing, and you're a trailblazer in the community when it comes to Hennepin County. You're one of those unsung heroes, and I'll call you a shero, because you have done stuff with the county that people don't really know, and they don't really know all the stuff you've done to create roles and responsibilities for the community. So thank you so much once again for being on Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads all over the world.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, you guys. Now listen, we're going to talk about camps a little bit and how important it is for us to have an outlet for our kids. You know, our kids really don't have a huge outlet, but we need to do more of this. We've been taking our kids on camp, and we've been showing them some things that they've never seen before. And so we're asking people to get more involved with our youth. Our youth are starving. And I mean, when I say starving, I mean our youth are starving for opportunities to do new things and things that will empower them and things that will educate them and things that will motivate them. And so where are you when it comes to doing those things with our young people? Where are you? What are you doing for the young people? Well, what we're doing, we're going to share with you a little bit about what we're doing to motivate our young people and how we're taking, and I'm going to try to get one of our parents to call in and make a call to share with you what we're doing to make a difference with our young people. Now, you say camp is not a big deal, but camp to a kid in the inner city that has not had the ability to go anywhere or to do anything, that's a huge thing. It's really huge. And I believe that the more of that we do, the more exciting things begin to be for our kids. So I just challenge you. I challenge youth programs. I challenge now that number for you to call is 425-292-4444. So that's 4444. And, you know, I'm going to share something with you. I had a young kid that was in our camp that was just talking about how the camp meant, what the camp meant to them, how important it was, how critically important it was for them to do something different besides listen to sirens, and fire trucks, and people get shot and hear bullets fly all over the place. But they had an opportunity to really see what it's like to be at peace. You know, some of our kids never see or hear what it's like to even just be at peace, to be somewhere where there's not a lot of noise and violence and stuff like that. These kids have had an opportunity to feel and see what it's like to actually have resilience, to actually see what it's like to not have a siren go off at night, to not have a gunshot go off at night. Joanne, you've been at some of the camps. What was some of your experience at the camps?
Whoa.
And the kids and their reaction.
Kids, one thing I can say is kids are very, very honest. So when we do the ask them questions, they give us blunt answers, and you can't get mad because they're being honest. They're kids. But at the same token, they're very receptive about what's going on around them. And the reason why I say that is because I ask them, what do they hear at night, or do they feel safe, or do they like what the area they're living in? And we actually have an open dialogue with these kids, and they tell us things that sometimes we cannot repeat back to the parents. But the other section of it, the kids have no problem talking to us about anything that they want to talk to us about. And I usually leave that communication gap open just in case if they do want to talk. You don't have to talk in a group. If you want to say something to one of the leaders one-on-one, you can, and not have a retaliation or going back to the parents and saying, well, this is what your child said. And that's what I like. I had it with my own kids. We had a Sunday dinner where you could say anything you wanted to say
and not get
in trouble about it.
And I think that's important to have those kind of opportunities for kids. So you had a Sunday dinner where people could say anything they wanted to say and not get in trouble.
Yes, our kids could say anything they wanted to tell us that us as parents did not know and they did not get in trouble for it. Now, if we brought it to you the next Sunday before you brought it to us, then you can't get in trouble. But it wasn't a disciplinary action because they brought us that information. And that's what I like because kids need an out. Now, whether it's something good, whether it's something bad, whether it's something how they express themselves, they need an open communication line where they don't feel like they're getting in trouble every second of every minute of the day.
You know, in the work we do, working with our camps and our kids, we've always tried to figure out a way to show our kids how bigger this world is. You know, sometimes people look at Lake Street and Chicago and Franklin and downtown that it's about as big as the world is for them. But the world is so much bigger when you go to a camp and you sleep under a tent and you get around a bonfire and you make marshmallows and you start to tell stories about your life, something that nobody else is doing. And you begin to tell those stories about your life and about how the challenges you have when it comes to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, and all that stuff. And you begin to deal with those issues in a way that educates you. And you go back home and you take that information back home. Our kids are real, real excited about being able to go back home and take information back that they've learned from being involved in the camps. They learned from our peer educators and the folks that educate about alcohol, drugs, tobacco, asthma, all those related things that are detrimental to our community. You know, the young girls and young men and young women that go to our camps, they don't really have expectation. They just know they're getting away and doing something fun. But what are some of the things you've heard from the kids that have really showed they've been inspired?
They can't wait for the next camp, seriously.
Uh-huh.
And they look forward to serving leaders, and I like that in them. I really do. Because, like I said, we provide a safe environment for them. So they get to talk to us.
So when you've been with the kids, what is one thing that's educated you about them?
For them, I think I don't, well, when I first started camp, I helped them to their age level. And I've actually involved them in that because even though they might be 10, they actually act like a 12-year-old or older. You know what I'm saying? Even the youngest one we have is 5, and she acts like a 7 or 8-year-old to me. So it all depends on the kids themselves and how they was raised. So I can't hold them by their age level. I hold them by their mental level. And that's a better way of saying it, because a lot of them are a lot wiser beyond their age.
So one of the things, you know, a lot of times we talk about our young people and we talk about kids, but at camp, when we get the kids away from their home environment and you get them to a place where they can really relax, I have heard some dynamic things come from the kids. And what are some of the things that you've heard come from kids that really inspired you?
Well, one child told me, she said, well, this is not homework, but at the same time, y'all giving us information on what not to do with drinking, to drugs, or our gangs. She said, I was around a lot of drugs and gangs, but now that doesn't bother me due to the fact that I know there's an escape route. And that's good to know, because not every child wants to go to bed thinking about drugs or gangs or shootings or anything. They don't want to think about that. They really don't. So they want to feel safe. So the kids, I like the comments that they make. And every end of each camp, we always ask them, is it something that we can improve on, or what do they want to see done at the next camp? So we always try to get their opinion to go on to the next camp.
You know, we've done some camps where we just kept them in the city, but still had them do outreach in the community, had them do community service, and then had them spend the night in the city. But it's still been an opportunity to have a talent show and stuff like that, and I think that's really been great. What impact do you think that's had on those kids?
Oh, tremendous impact. Tremendous impact, because nothing is the same, and they get out there. They get out their element. So they actually like being around.
So, thank you, Joanne. We've got one of the mothers here from camp, and no better testimony than is one of the mothers that can say, what has camp had? What kind of impact has the camp had on your child?
My daughter, she comes home every weekend after camp, just excited. She loved what she learned about how to prevent from taking drugs, and the information she learned, she tells her friends about it. So she really loves it, and just the activities that you guys have there, going swimming, and she loves everything about camp, getting to meet new friends and everything. So.
You know, when you were growing up, were you able to go to camp?
I did one time.
One time?
One time. Yeah, I mean, camp is expensive, so it's nice that you guys have this. So, you know, especially for low-income houses like my own, where, you know, you don't have to spend anything or very little for my child to be able to enjoy, you know, her weekend of meeting new people. So.
Well, you know, I think that's important, but also it's a good opportunity and time for you to get a break, too.
Definitely.
You know, and I think that a lot of our parents are so stressed out, man. You work all week, and all weekend the kids want all this stuff. And if you can get one or two kids to go somewhere else, that's a great opportunity. What would you say to other parents about, some parents are smothering that they won't allow kids to get out and do stuff. What do you say to parents? Like, and sometimes you have a good reason.
Good reason, right.
You know? Because there are people that will abuse your kids, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, some people are, like, scared because they got abused, and they don't want the kids to get abused. Mm-hmm. But what do you say to parents? Give them a healthy balance toward that.
Well, I'm like that. I smother my children. I don't let my daughter go anywhere to anybody's house that I don't know. If it's not family, she can't go. It's that simple, because I was molested as a child, so I just have that fear.
Yeah.
But I honestly can say that Mad Dad, you guys are a very small and close-knit family, and that I trust everybody there.
Yeah.
And you guys are very positive.
Yeah.
and they have a great influence on our youth. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's very important that we allow people to be safe and feel safe with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just you probably would be amazed at how many women and even men have been molested as kids. And so then they're over and super protective about their kids. And it's sad that our society is even worse now. It's even worse now. You've got leaders that are youth leaders that are taking advantage of people. So who do you trust? The Boy Scouts have done it. The Girl Scouts, you know, everybody's done something. So who do you trust now? And what advice do you give to parents then that are afraid to trust? What do you say?
I took a leap of faith. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, you just building that relationship with that other adult, so you know, and making sure you have contact at all times. I mean, when she went to the camp, the camp leader said, look, this is my personal cell. Call me. It doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, if you feel uncomfortable and just want to call to check up on her and check and see what we're doing or, you know, anything you can. It doesn't matter what time it is.
And, you know, one of the kids said to me, I don't want to go home. And I said, why not? And he said, because I've never known that peace felt so good. And it kind of broke my heart because here's a kid that found out that here's what peace feels like. It doesn't feel like, oh, we better dodge, somebody's shooting, you know, pick on the police, watch out, there's a loose pit bull, don't nobody know who it belongs to, you know, it's always something in the hood to be concerned about. That dude's looking at me crazy, you know, like I'm a piece of meat.
Kids
you know?
Don't get to be kids nowadays.
Right.
Even staying in the hood, I mean, some parents are scared just to let them go out and play, you know. So definitely this camp is nice so they can just enjoy being children.
Absolutely. So remember that, and thank you very much. Tell everybody who you are.
Oh, my name is CeCe Williams.
CeCe Williams on Blog Talk Radio. All across the nation, and thank you, CeCe, for all you're doing to help out Mad Dads and be a part of the movement of what we're doing.
Thank you.
I know you're busy, so I'll let you get back to what you're doing. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Listen, you guys, I want you to know something, that Mad Dads is a movement that's going strong to make a difference in our communities. I think I have one caller. I'm going to see if this caller has anything to say. 3697. 3697, you're on the air. 3697, how you doing? 3697. Looks like 3697 is not interested in talking, so I will take you off the air. But I want to let you know, anybody, if you ever want to call in as a guest, please call 347-215-9262. That's 347-215-9262. That is the number to call. That's the number that I want you to call because I do need your comments, your interaction, and your involvement in the work that we're doing to make a difference in this community. I had another parent that I was attempting to get to call. She did not call, and that was Melissa. I wanted Melissa to call, and she has not called us. So, and I also asked for Mama Treese to call in because she's just did a phenomenal job with the kids also. And those kids were so inspired and so motivated. And every time that her and Joanne and Diamond and Cicero and others have an opportunity to have impact, it makes a difference. I want you guys to know that you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. Big ups once again to Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Texas, and Minneapolis, Minnesota, the main headquarters right here for Mad Dads all across the nation. We'll be doing our block cleanup coming up on the 26th. We're also having a fundraiser on the 26th, so we want you to join us and be a part of to help us raise funds for the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads. We're excited. We're excited. I know you're excited. Continue to tune in every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio. God bless you guys, and you guys just have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto and he's pressing nothing less. From the north to the south to the east to the west. Mad
that's how you feel. All the streets be keeping real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing.